This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 2 Chronicles. And now open your Bibles as Pastor Sandy teaches through 2 Chronicles chapters 11 through 17.
God was blessing Judah, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. But storm clouds, war clouds, begin to form. Verse 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Mareshah. Zerah the Ethiopian had 1,000,000-man army, and he intended to use it to conquer and to pillage. And so Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Mareshah. This battlefield was southwest of Jerusalem. On our last trip to Israel, we visited an area known as the Baal Caves. On the road to the Philistine country, there's an area there where there are 800 bell-shaped subterranean caves. It's really cool. The air in the caves is always cool, and some of these caves are huge. Their ceilings are 75 foot from the floor. If you saw Sylvester Stallone's movie Rambo 3, you don't have to admit it. It was shot in that area of Israel down around the Baal Caves. And next to these caves, there was a town known as Mareshah. Unlike the fictitious fighting in Rambo 3, a real war did take place near these caves. It took place in the days of Asa between Judah and Ethiopia. Again, like his father Abiah, Asa is facing an army that outnumbers him 2-1. Zerah and the Ethiopians number 1,000,000 men. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Asa realizes a truth I hope you never forget. One plus God always equals a majority. It doesn't matter how outnumbered or how overmatched you may be, if God is on your side, he is more than enough to negate whatever opposition you face. I like to say this, God is the great equalizer. When God is on your side, victory is certain, as we see here. Verse 12. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Again, we're not told how he did, only that God struck this invading army. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. In other words, they're going back to Ethiopia. And so he's fleeing south, chasing them. And they chase him to Gerar. And so the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil. Guys, I hope you understand, the Lord is never hindered by our littleness. He is more than enough to help us overcome whatever we lack. He is not limited by our lack of size. He is only limited by our lack of faith. Never forget that. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar that Ethiopia had annexed, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. What a sad plight when a people find themselves without a teaching priest and without God's law. In those situations, they are literally lost. If your church has a teacher of God's word, never take it for granted. There are some who lack a teaching priest and lack God's law. Don't ever assume, well, you know, other people will support the church. Hey, if you're part of a church that teaches the Bible, be thankful and support that church with your prayers, with your money. This is why we're excited to have these Calvary Chapel pastors with us tonight who are planning Calvary Chapels in communities that lack a teaching priest and that lack God's law. I hope God put one of them on your heart, and I hope you'll pray for him in the days ahead and encourage him when you can. Verse 5, and in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So the nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In other words, he's telling Asa, don't walk with the Lord, follow the Lord. Don't let the same kind of destruction come to Judah that has occurred in Israel. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Needed reforms took place in the days of Asa. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And evidently the prosperity that Judah had enjoyed, the victory over their enemies, had caused many of the inhabitants of the northern tribes to realize their mistakes, realize God's blessing was on Judah. And so they repented of their rebellion, and many of them returned to Judah and the temple and the true worship of God and renounced the worship of Jeroboam. You know, we talk a lot today, you hear a lot of talk today about the lost tribes of Israel. There are really no such thing. The tribes are not lost. A representation of all of the 10 tribes migrated to Judah during this time, and so Judah became sort of the embodiment of all 12 tribes. And so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Sounds like barbecue at a men's rally. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Boy, Asa's a zealous guy, isn't he? Either serve the Lord or die. Didn't give him any options. And then they all took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them. And the Lord God gave them rest all around. And when you seek the Lord with all your heart, and when you seek him with all your soul, you can be sure that he will be found by you. A zeal for the Lord swept over the nation. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. And that's no small task. He went against Mama. Asa's mom, evidently, was involved in this fertility cult of the Canaanite goddess Asherah. And when you make a woman your god, it's no surprise that a woman tries to take over. Maacah took the title of Queen Mother, and she wanted to share the throne with her son Asa. But Asa had backbone. He dethrones his own mom. He refuses to allow an idolater, no matter who she might be, to assume power in Israel. In other words, Asa loved God more than his own mom. Reminds me of Jesus' words in Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, your love for Jesus should be so intense that it makes the other loves of your life pale in comparison, even look like hate. Asa was a good king, but he wasn't perfect. The high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. Now, here's a problem. In verse 5 of chapter 14, we're told that Asa removed the high places. Here we're told that he did not. And there's several ways to sort of reconcile this. First, Asa may have torn down the high places early in his ministry, but in his later years, the people built them back. And Asa was too lazy to demolish them again. Another possibility, he tore down the pagan high places or altars, but he didn't tear down those high places that had been dedicated to Jehovah. Another possibility is he tore down those close to Jerusalem, but not in the areas further away. There are many possibilities. The only impossibility is that the Bible is in error. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Asa enjoys 3.5 decades of peace. Chapter 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Baasha constructs the equivalent of the Berlin Wall. You see, he's tired of losing citizens to the southern kingdom, so he decides to stop all this immigration. Ramah was only 8 miles north of Jerusalem, but it became sort of a northern kingdom checkpoint. So whenever you went through, you had to stop there, and if you didn't have the right credentials, you were sent back home. There was no more migration, no more flowing of Israelis down to Judah. And Asa responds to Baasha, but not in the way he has in the past. Here's a man of faith that's risen up against his enemies, but for some reason he doesn't do it here. Rather than trust in God, he tries to buy Syrian protection. Verse 2. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and he sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there has been between my father and your father. Here I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Eon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storied cities of Naphtali. The Syrians attacked the northern border towns of Baasha's kingdom. Now it happened, when Baasha heard it, that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. It seems that Asa's plan worked, but his lack of faith angered God. Verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Notice what happened. What Asa viewed as a threat against him was really an opportunity for him. You see, Baasha's aggression wasn't a problem. It was a potential for victory. So often we face a situation and we become afraid and we try to avoid that situation rather than realizing God allowed the situation to show himself strong. If Asa had fought against Baasha, he would have won. But instead, he let him off the hook. The prophet reminds Asa, were the Ethiopians, and this must have been convicting, were the Ethiopians, remember that 1 million men army? And the Lubim, not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand? In other words, Asa, you trusted God once. Why not a second time? And guys, here is a vital lesson for you and me. Faith has to stay current. It doesn't matter what you trusted God for yesterday. Is your faith alive today? We can't live off yesterday's victories. Yesterday's faith doesn't help us with today's challenges. God wants me to trust Him today, hour by hour, day by day. He wants me to trust Him with today's problem, not just yesterday's. Here's a great verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. God has ADD. His eyes are going everywhere. He's looking everywhere. You know, He's constantly scanning the globe. He's looking for people who will allow Him to show Himself strong, who will have a loyal heart to Him. You know, verse 9 tells me that God is an opportunist. God is on the lookout for the underdog scenario where He can turn the tables, where He can showcase His power. He is searching for a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who will trust Him against all odds. Pick up their house, move to some city they've never been in before, and start a church. That's the kind of situation that God is looking to bless, where He can show Himself strong on behalf of those who are weak. God's only requirement is a loyal heart. He won't work on behalf of a person who'll end up taking the credit for it, or who'll try to manipulate the situation for His own benefit. God's only requirement is a loyal heart. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and they'll also see God work miracles in their lives." Well, Hananiah continues his word to Asa. "In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. And he was enraged at him because of this. Not really an attitude of repentance here. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. You know, what a tragic end to Asa. His final act was a prideful, willful stubbornness. He refused to accept this rebuke and he attacked his messenger. You know, guys, the Christian life is not just about starting well. It's about finishing well. Faith is a marathon. Asa started well, but he pulled up lame and he dropped out before he finished. It's tragic. Verse 11, note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Asa did it again. He trusts man and not God. He consults the podiatrists. Asa runs off to everybody but God. And God inflicts his feet with a disease. It was the gout, or maybe it was arthritis, or maybe it was some fungus. Who knows? God forces Asa to stop running and look up. He strikes him with his feet. That'll get you to stop running. We're not told the outcome of Asa's malady, but Asa was taught an important lesson here. Hope you learn it well. We are to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. Now, Asa wasn't cremated. He was buried, but this burning was sort of a ceremonial bonfire. Chapter 17. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Jehoshaphat is gearing up now for a major confrontation. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals or the Canaanite idols, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments, not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. And this was no small matter. Understand that in ancient times, people thought the higher you were in elevation, the closer you were to the gods. And so the pagans built their altars either on mountaintops or on hills or bluffs, or in the absence of those, they would build them on an elevated platform. And this was came to be called the high places. God prohibited his people, Israel, from worshiping him on these high places, let alone other gods. Even sometimes they would try to dedicate a high place to Jehovah God. God forbid that. The reason is that God wanted his worship to be centralized. He wanted one specific location to be the place of worship. That was the temple in Jerusalem. And this was God's way of, number one, keeping their worship pure, but number two, keeping Israel together. God hated the high places. He prohibited them. And here, Jehoshaphat no doubt pleased him as he tore them down. Verse 7. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, and he names them there. I'll let you read them. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Now remember, Asa was zealous. You remember how zealous? You serve God or die. That's pretty zealous. Asa instituted reforms, but they didn't last. Asa reformed laws, but the people were not informed or transformed. Jehoshaphat knew that changing laws without changing hearts was a waste of time. He took a different tact. He sent men out throughout the land to do what? To read and teach the scriptures, this book, his word. For Jehoshaphat knew that the Bible was God's change agent. That the Bible convicts and it softens and it cleanses and it empowers. Only God's word has the power to change and transform a man's nature and enlighten his mind. Jehoshaphat knew the people, if they were taught God's word, they would learn to love God and they would want to obey God. And a change of heart would occur. I think the same is true today. So he sent these men out to teach the word. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat, not a bad deal. That's terrible. Even I didn't laugh at that. And so Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. He had much property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And the rest of the chapter tallies up the troops of Jehoshaphat. Catch this. He had a standing army of 1.16 million soldiers. 1,160,000 soldiers. It was the largest army in Judah's history. Jehoshaphat goes to war.
The book of 2 Chronicles tells of the events and lessons we can learn from the reign of King Solomon and those who followed. Each of these kings approached their rule in different ways, and their time in power led to, or led away from, God and his ultimate plan for them. Pastor Sandy will continue to teach us from the book of 2 Chronicles on the next edition of Sandy Adams Radio. And you won't want to miss it. If you'd like to listen again to today's message, you can do so through our website, sandyadams.org. You'll find many teachings there, in fact. Scroll down to the bottom of the page to see the books of the Bible Pastor Sandy has taught on to access the hours of audio messages available there. Learn more about our radio program while you're at sandyadams.org, as well as about the church that Pastor Sandy leads each week. If you live in or are visiting Atlanta, we'd love to have you join us at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. Each Sunday, we meet at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. to dig into God's Word together and spend time reflecting and praising God for what He's doing in our lives. Give us a call to get directions at 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. Thanks for tuning in today. Join Pastor Sandy next time for more on the book of 2 Chronicles, right here on Sandy Adams Radio.